One day you are going to have to face a fact that makes human life very difficult. You can avoid facing it. No one can make you if you don't want to. But the will of God in you will not be denied. And as long as you defer facing this fact, you will find that in some way you cannot put all the pieces together. There will always be something elusive in your life. Your triumphs will be temporary. Your freedom will be false. All your achievements will slowly dissolve, and for one reason alone. When you live in time, you are going backwards. You can only go backwards in time. You can never go forward. Time is past. It is not future. There is no such thing as future time. Everything you acquire in time is something that slowly drifts away. Your loved ones drift away in time, and you watch them and you mourn. Your possessions drift away in time. Your lifespan drifts away in time, and we have not had the good intelligence to look at it and say, this is not God's doing. God is not drifting away in time. I'd like you to see time as a rotating mirror in the middle of eternity. And as the mirror rotates, and we in the mirror think of ourselves as that individual, we just come back to the same starting point, start all over again, and that which we are imitating in time is already there before we imitate it, and it never changes. Only we change. We simply recur, comb our hair a different way, put on different clothes, adopt a new form. We simply continue to recur and recur in the rotating mirror of time. And all of it is an activity that has already happened. In time, we are simply living the replay. We are literally walking backwards. All that is in time has happened. And the value of this is that you can learn to live in that which is timelessness itself. And you will find that instead of trying to go ahead into time to get what you want, you do not go ahead, you go up above. Instead of out forward, you go above. You rise above time, here and now. You do not go to people outside. You go above time, here and now. Everything that you have been seeking in time is already finished here and now, and is available here and now, if you will live in that now and see that your life is not passing. It is impossible for your life to pass. There is no such thing as life passing. Now, I'd like you to see something very beautiful and very interesting. and it will explain to you some of the mysteries that baffle us most of the time. And I hope simplify them to the point where you can feel that nothing, however mysterious it might be, is beyond your understanding. That in one way or another, regardless of the nature of the mystery, if you're willing to challenge it, if you're willing to be dissatisfied with limited horizons, it will yield to your inquiry, because it is the Father's will that you know the Father aright. You will find that it is the nature of infinite life to constantly be birthing itself. That which we think is a static universe in spirit is new every second. Every second is a new universe because of the infinity of spirit. And as the new universe is born, it's the old one simultaneously dies. Birth and death are simultaneous in spirit, but they are not called birth and death. They are the newness of spirit, infinite, constantly revealing its own infinity. And this constant birthing and constant dying is a simultaneous event. The new appears, the old disappears, and in the next second the new replaces the new, and the new that was is no more. Always infinity is expressing itself infinitely as constant birth. And it is that activity, slowed down into time, stretched out in slow motion, that becomes the physical birth here and the physical death there, separated by a span of years. That physical birth and death of the human being is our mental imitation of the constant newness of spirit, birthing and dying simultaneously, simply stretched out into time. But yourself is constantly new. And these opposites that are recurring in our human lives are the time images of the simultaneous opposites in spirit. Pain and pleasure, inhale and exhale, intake of energy and expulsion of energy, male and female, positive and negative, birth and death, the beginning and the ending. In God, they're all at the same time. And in us, because of time, as they are diluted into time from timelessness, we see them as opposites in a sequence of events, rather than as simultaneous opposites, which are really one activity. And as you learn this and dwell with this, you can see the opposites and see the oneness behind them. They lose their sense of dread to you. Time is a beautiful thing for us. It's like sitting at a football game on the 50-yard line. And from there you can see the action better when it's near the 50-yard line. But if it's down near the goalposts, it looks different. And when you're sitting in time, that determines how things look to you. Where you sit determines what you experience. Time is necessary for us. It enables us to see a slow motion parade of the externalized images that otherwise would be invisible. We would not understand birth and death as a simultaneity unless we saw birth and death 80 years apart in this world. And this sequence of events in time becomes the spectacle that tells you what is in timelessness. And these are the fragments that come to us in human sequence, all hints of something greater in the invisible. And these are the fragments that we must bring together. Now, your present lifespan has already been lived totally. And that's the mystery of it. The death you're going to experience has already died. It has already been born into newness. Within you there are many hundreds and millions of unlived lives waiting to be lived unless you step out of the time-rotating mirror. And you cannot do it intellectually. Everything that we see in this world, which we consider evil, is happening only as a time image. Sometimes it's a short time image, and you call it recovery. Sometimes it's such a long time image that it outlasts a person, and we never see it as a time image. It's too big for us. But everything in this world, including the human body, is a time image. The spirit of you does not live in these time images. The form is a time image, but spirit lives outside the time image because it doesn't live in time at all. Now, with the human mind, we think of time as a friend. But there is another meaning to the serpent we hadn't thought about. The Bible is telling us that when you place your faith in the serpent, which advises you to do this or that, as Eve did, she was being fooled by time. The serpent is also a symbol of time because the serpent, being a symbol of the world mind that functions each of us like an atomic robot, in that mind is false time, forbidden space. These are the forbidden fruits. The serpent poses as a friend. Time poses as your friend. You think, in 5 years I ought to make it. In 2 years I'll be in a better position. And it would seem that is true. And that's the kiss of Judas. Judas poses as a friend while he's betraying the master. Time poses as a friend while it's betraying you. Time is going the other way. It is not a future event. It is a replay of the past. And when you place your faith in time, you are overlooking scripture which says, lay up your treasures in heaven. It is telling you that when you place your faith in time, you will have the illusion of acquiring what you wanted. For a while, only for a time, will the illusion of acquiring what you wanted be there. And then slowly it will unacquire itself. And so now we're beginning to look skeptically at time, trying to see that when we try to live in a human brain to solve the issues of what we call life, there are forces at work which are leading us astray, that are happening invisibly and causing us to place our faith in that which cannot in any way repay us for our faith. Now, I have discovered for myself that my friend is now, not in time. And if you have not discovered that your friend is now, you must realize that God is now. All that God is now. Tomorrow there's no more God than there was today, because God is not becoming something tomorrow. Spirit is God. All that spirit is and ever will be, it is now. Time does not enter the picture except to steal, to fool you into the belief that in time there is something that you want. There's nothing that you really want in time, because time itself isn't there. Now, when we reach into the now, we begin to understand the meaning of life. The word eternal has not been presented to us in its full meaning. And we have lived with that word in such a way that we have thought about it as meaning everlasting. That is only one facet of its meaning. When the Bible tells you that to know God aright is eternal life, life eternal, it doesn't mean life everlasting alone. It means much more than that. An everlasting human life wouldn't be much, with all its ups and downs, with all its deteriorations, with all its opposites. But rather, eternal must be seen now to mean whole, comprising the fullness of all that exists in God. All that is in God now is your eternal life, your full life, your whole life. And that is why when the Holy Ghost functions your being, you find the miracles, because it works from your eternal life. It works from the fullness instead of the fragment in time. It is very important that you develop the habit to halt time regularly. We'll have to do that now so you understand carefully what you can do to step out of the false flow of time. You may find that just to think about it a moment begins to have an effect. Time is not passing. And if I am not aware of this, the self of me that is not me flows with that unpassing time and seems to pass. And a little bit of me dies in this minute. But if the life of God is my life, a little bit of me never dies in this minute, as it seems to. And so consciously you must know, and this is a spiritual exercise, that the life of God, which is your life, is not dying minute by minute in passing time. Passing time does not contain your life. Passing time is only an illusion of the senses. It may seem to be an hour later than it was an hour ago, but not for God, not for spirit, not for Christ, not for your soul, only for your sense mind. That which alone lives in time lives under the law of time, which is not the law of God. We must break through the veil and challenge time. Challenge it vigorously, regularly, so that every day, in some way, sometimes more than once, you begin to look at time and to question it. Where did you come from? Who are you? Are you God ordained? Are you an activity of the Father? Can you steal my life away? until you realize that you are really independent of time. It doesn't matter how the clock ticks away or how the seasons go by. They have contained a false sense of you. They can never contain you. Time moves backward. And in a funny way, you can prove this. Biblically, it's very easy, but to prove it in your own experience is something else again. The way I find best is to simply dwell with the knowledge that the kingdom of God is within me, and therefore eternity is within me. For the kingdom of God is eternal. The eternity within me is not passing in time. Until you realize that the eternal kingdom is your own life. Your own life is the kingdom of God. They're one and the same. And if you think you are going through the experience of passing time, you are denying this life, this one unchanging life, which is ever birthing itself into newness, but not in time. Someday, someone is going to be ambitious enough to take the Bible and to start rewriting some portions of it to show you, to show the world, that the characters of the Bible can be seen from one point of view, many points of view, in fact, but this one I'm thinking of is you can see the characters in the Bible who live in time and the characters who don't live in time. And you could write the Bible from that point of view. You could rewrite it again from the standpoint of which characters live in space and which live out of space. Because that's what it's telling you. It's telling you that the ones who live in time are doing all the suffering. And the ones who live outside of time are leading the sufferers. The one who lives outside of time leads the Israelites out of Egypt. You can walk out of time. You can walk out of it because you're not in it. And the more you recognize you're not in it, the more you walk out of the illusion of it. And when you do, those rainbows begin to appear. Those inner rainbows. When you walk out of the illusion of time, you understand that life never began at any one point. It had no beginning. You understand the nature of Melchizedek as the life that never began, the life that is never going to end, and this is your living consciousness. That life, I am. That life is the Christ life. That life is not in this dimension of human thought, but it has been beckoning to you for what in time would be called millions of years, inviting you to open your soul to the realization that timeless life is the only life that exists. Only the eternal life of God exists, and that is your life now. When you dwell quietly in the knowledge that all your life now exists, not will exist, not will become, but your life is all now. That is what may be called inhabiting the fullness of your life. And then the life that you acknowledge to be infinite now, eternal now, not existing in tomorrows, impregnates your human experiences out here with the infinite nature of itself in such a way that you might say, one moment in now is worth a countless number of hours, days, months, and years in the horizontal flow of so-called passing time. I'd like you to develop then the capacity to reach into now at regular intervals. You might start just by stopping the flow of the human faculties. These faculties that flow in time are ever changing in time, are false faculties. They are reporting what is not there. And so we stand in a timeless awareness. All that goes by makes no connection with your awareness. Your awareness remains independent of the invisible flow. While the waters flow by, you stand still in the midst of the waters. And you consciously know that here is the fullness of God now. Here, all that the Father hath is now. The fullness of my life, being the fullness of the life of God, has no boundaries in time now. I extend into every century. I extend before Abraham. I extend after the world, because the Father's life is the only life I can acknowledge here and now. That life is not at this point. That life isn't sitting on the 50-yard line. That life is the entire playing field and every other playing field. That life is the life you're acknowledging. And there'll be a moment when it confirms within you, yes, I am your life. I am infinite. I am life that ever was and ever will be, and beside me there is no other life. And I am your life, not a fragment. I am the fullness of your life. Your life and mine are the same one full life. We are the divine life which knows no beginning, no changes in time, no activity in time. The life which is independent of the flow of time registered by human sensations. That is the life of Christ. And Christ in the Bible, Christ Jesus, lives outside of time. Only an image appears in time. And there is no laying of hands on the so-called victims or problem people, because it is unnecessary. Most of the miracles, you know, do not involve laying on of hands, for the simple reason that the Spirit is teaching that your awareness of the life outside of time is the way you live in your inner space, and that controls outer space. When you are in the now, you are in the inner space which controls the flow of things in time in the outer space. And so you don't lay the hands on anything. You can run your whole universe from your living room. You can take every problem that you have and see it as an illusion in time. A time illusion. Just as if you had a camera and you focused it on something for 20 seconds and then you made a snapshot. That's what we're doing cosmically every day. Everything we are is just a changing snapshot in time. And then the snapshot makes a snapshot of others. Illusion is pyramided upon illusion. Everything you're looking at in the world is a time image, seen by a time image. And the time images are floating by other time images. But you can develop the consciousness of now, which reaches to infinity and throughout eternity and knows no boundaries. And all the things you had sought in the flow of time, you will touch in greater abundance in the invisible acknowledgement of the now that is. And they, in turn, will be activated by the ghost into the appearances that flow in time. That is putting substance, and that is speaking with tongues. That is the real speaking with tongues. When you touch the now, then, although in the visible it has not yet appeared, you are contacting the simultaneous opposites which occur in the invisible spirit now, and then they appear, spread out in slow motion time, in a sequence with a beginning and an end. You are speaking in tongues. You are bringing forth the now into the flow of time. When here and there are simultaneous, you are overcoming the false appearance of separations in space. When activities are simultaneous, such as the Christ stepping on the ship that suddenly, instantly is on the shore, you are being taught that now everything happens in the now at one time. It is simultaneous. It is only when a human mind sees the simultaneity that it interprets it as a flow of events in time. Son, all that I have is thine now. And as you know this, you are at the hub of the wheel. You're not spinning in the outer perimeter. But you must practice it. You must give time to living in the now. And I find you must also give time to halting the flow of time consciously by knowing it isn't passing. When you are told that time is moving backward, it may stimulate you into realizing certain things that had been incomprehensible to you but had always intrigued you in some way. You might even look at certain things in the Bible and suddenly see them for what they were trying to tell us. I'm not going to overdwell on that, but I'd like you to see a few of them, so that you will understand the meaning of time is going backward. This one is, we'll start, I think, at the Psalms 22, 17 and 18. I'm back with the bones. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Now this has been interpreted as a prophecy. Because we're thinking from the standpoint of time. In time, this may come true. But forget time and see that somebody is standing in the now and seeing it now. And it happens to be in the Psalms 500 or 1,000 years before it ever happens in time. Now, if it's already happened in the now, when we come to it in time, isn't time a replay? We think of it as a prophecy of the future, but it's not. It's a statement of the now. And because our human senses live in time, we misinterpret the statement of now as a prophecy of something that will happen. It isn't that at all. That which finally happens is simply a past event, catching up to those who live in the past. This has happened at this point in the now. If it happens 500 years later, it's already happened, and so it is walking backward in time. And so you see it at the crucifixion. In John 19, it just comes into the flow of time, and we accept it as just happening then. But that isn't when it happened. In the 23rd and 24th verse, we read this. And then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made from part to every soldier a part and also his coat. And now the coat was without seam woven from the top throughout. This was the statement of the now appearing in time. When you touch the now in consciousness, it appears in time. And because the omnipotent mind of the Father knoweth all things, when you touch that mind in the now, it will shine forth in the time flow as that which was needed. It could happen 500 years ago as far as touching the now, and it might show forth in a lifetime 500 years from now. The moment you touch the now, it must appear in time. And that's the meaning that you find here, that the scripture may be fulfilled. It keeps saying that. Now look at another one, 33 to 36, and this is about the bones. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. The Christ, being one self, infinite and eternal, is not destructible, and this is demonstrating that to us. But way back in Psalms, we heard about it. Spirit there was touching the now for us to show us that whatever you touch in the now will appear in time. If you touch abundance in the now, it will multiply loaves and fishes in time. If you touch something in the now, it will change the weather. Whatever is needed in time will appear if you touch it first in the now. But when you touch it in the now, you don't try to touch a thing. You simply touch the now. And the infinite intelligence of the Father in the now then appears outwardly in time as the required image to fulfill the need. You never outline, you never have to in any way, shape, or form ask or pray for or even say, I wish thy will to be done. This is ridiculous. You simply touch the conscious awareness of now. God is, until there's an inner response. And then you can drop all care about what you thought you needed in the outer. Things will be shuffled around and reassembled in a way that you never dreamed of. And because you need to make transition into a higher consciousness, when you touch the now, the infinite mind will bring forth the manner in which you are to make that transition. And that's why now is becoming a very important thing for us. I'd like you to look at Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, in the 14th verse. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken away from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. Now, this is the statement that there is a permanent spiritual universe. Nothing can be added or taken away. It is spiritual, it is perfect, and it is now. And everything else is the rotating mirror of time and space, revolving or seeming to revolve in the midst of this infinite spiritual universe, reflecting to us the fragments that we have called the lifespans that we live, the parentheses that we think we come into and out of. And by living in the now, you live outside the parenthesis. By living in the now, you live outside the false flow of time. And by living in the now, you develop soul consciousness, because you'll find the mind can't do it. You'll start with the mind, you'll have some understanding, and finally, just as the sun shines in the day and the moon begins to fade as soon as the sun appears, the soul will overshadow the mind. And you'll find yourself living in the now, in your soul, not in your mind. And this soul consciousness transforms. It transforms the now into the passing human consciousness of time, with substance from the infinite. Now Ecclesiastes has this important phrase: that which hath been, that which hath been is now. There is your statement. Right now, what we call in passing time has already been. That which hath been is now. Now, this is not the now of permanence. This is the passing now. A moment ago was now, and it passed. Now there's another now, and another now, and another now. That's not the now that we want. That's the now he's talking about, the passing now into which we pour our life. And this now of the life goes into the past and it's gone. And the now and the now and the now keep passing us. But there's another now. If you live in this now, that which hath been, you're just replaying the past. You're not catching the now with a capital N, the now that is always now. And you can expand your consciousness to that permanent ever now. It is life eternal. And there's a moment when it snaps into position for you and you know, I am that now. That now and I are one. And so back in Ecclesiastes, we are learning that time does move backward. And we move backward with it, thinking we're moving forward. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. Tomorrow has already been. Why? Because tomorrow is just a replay in time of the eternal that exists now. And then comes the line that is so vital to us. And God requireth that which is past. That which is now. When time comes along, it is imitating that which already has been, and that is the past that God requireth. In other words, live in that which has always been, and that is putting your treasures in heaven. That is living in the now that is never less than itself. Now are we taught of God. Now are we the sons of God.